You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. The financial bailout in the United States was supposed to restore confidence to the global financial system, but gaining that confidence is proving difficult in Asia and in Europe. The U.S. passed the final bill on Friday, but in Europe, the reaction has been negative. This morning, European bank shares tumbled. There have been more banks acquired by other banks and threats of bank failures. International markets are reacting to a weekend of deals aimed at shoring up all kinds of banks and financial institutions. And there's also a sell-off going on in Asia this morning. We're joined on the line from London by BBC business correspondent Alex Ritson. Alex, thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you, John.
You know, confidence is the name of the game here. Let's just talk generally for one moment before we get into the specific sell-offs and the numbers, because it's easy to get lost in the dizziness there. The bet is that the U.S. somehow can pump confidence into the global system. If that doesn't work, is there a plan B?
Confidence is in very, very short supply. This is the big problem. $700 billion. I mean, it's such a large amount of money. It would be the biggest state bailout ever. It is the biggest state bailout ever. That said, as you indicated, you look at the European markets today, and it appears to have had no effect at all. The amount of value being wiped off European shares and Asian shares is in the trillions of dollars. I mean, you said leave the numbers for a moment, but I have to just give you a few of them. The Nikkei in Japan, down 4.3% to its lowest close since February 2004. Hong Kong's Hang Seng, that down 4.7%.
Those are huge numbers.
The Russian markets, as soon as they opened, within minutes of opening in Moscow, the main index was down some 7%. It's now down closer to 10%. And then you look at the main European bourses, the falls not as large in percentage terms, but all pretty much in excess of 4%, some quite substantially more, the London index almost 5%. And there's no sign of a stop to it.
Alex, I wonder if part of the reason is there's been an enormous amount of talk in media coverage over the weekend here in the United States, and it's emerged really over the last 10 days in financial reporting that these credit default swaps, which really took as their first casualty AIG, are you know, worth something on the order of $60 trillion. That's how much money is
on
$62 trillion. I mean, $700 billion, you know, I can't even, you know, get a cup of coffee for that, Alex.
Yeah, the problem with these credit default swaps is that a lot of these big financial institutions were both selling and buying them in roughly equal measure. The aim of doing that being that they would make a bit of cash each time they sold or bought a credit default swap. But once you get banks actually collapsing, that means that any credit default swaps that they've sold to another bank become effectively worthless, or no one really knows what their worth will be. It all depends on whether someone else takes them over. And that means that any bank that covered itself, you know, they're trying to get this sort of net zero position where they sell as many as they buy, but it means that any that they've bought from a bank that's now in trouble, they now can no longer pay out on their own credit default swaps. So the entire system is at fault.
I mean, between the worthlessness of the paper and the scariness of the obligation, it's a spiral that really it's hard to see how you pull out of it.
Well, the really scary part about this was that originally these credit default swaps were effectively insurance policies on corporate bonds, on corporate debts defaulting. But there were a lot of people who suddenly realized that these were actually very good investments in their own right. So you might think that there are a certain number of corporate bonds in the world to be insured, and if they go down, well, there's insurance to cover them. But actually, because these credit default swaps, if you buy them, if you pay the insurance premium, whether or not you own the bond, you can claim the payout. There were something like 20 or 30 times as many credit default swaps sold as there were corporate bonds to be insured. So the problem is then magnified by 20 or 30 fold.
I mean, if you sell insurance against your own stupidity, you're going to get a lot of buyers because people want that kind of insurance, right, Alex?
Well, and the other problem, of course, is that if you look at car insurance, you know, you can have huge payouts and huge potential liabilities there because no one's you're never going to get a situation, or it would be very unlikely, where everyone crashes their car at the same time. But, of course, when you're talking about a financial crisis on this scale, it's only ever going to happen at once. And if it does happen at once, then the money just simply isn't there to pay it out.
That is the scary part. Alex Ritson describing an enormous sort of car crash happening at once in the global financial system. He's the BBC business correspondent joining us from London. Thank you, Alex.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.